UFC 297 post-fight show right here on the Fight Bananas Network. We got Mr. David Van Auken. We got Blake Schneiders. We got one Bills fan. We got one Chiefs fan here with the game coming up in about 2 hours. But today is not about the NFL. Today is about the UFC. We have two new champions crowned last night. DDP with the win over Sean.
Wait, there was two title fights?
It's I guess it was almost felt like there was just one title fight at that point. I mean, general consensus between most people was that co-main event wasn't
the worst ever. Was that the worst co-main event in UFC pay-per-view history? Was that the worst?
It might be. It's definitely one of the you know, close to one of the worst title fights. I mean, you put there with Izzy and Yoel. You know, you have Carla Esparza versus
That was terrible.
That was a bad one.
That Rose Namajunas Carla Esparza was a Buffalo Bills playoff win into what we saw last night. That fight was a last night was just bullshit on a stick for 28 minutes. I'm sorry, I'm coming in hot, boys. I'm coming in hot.
We had no, it was because me and Blake, we even talked about it yesterday. There was a couple fights that didn't really live up to the expectations, you know, even Mostar Evloev versus Arnold Allen. There was some fun moments in the fight, but overall the fight wasn't necessarily the greatest what we've seen until the ending of the Magny fight, you know, with Malat.
Yeah.
That was pretty much just a one-sided affair. It was really the buzzer beater by Magny that stole the show and made that an exciting one. But guys, let's kick it off with the main event because there's a lot we can break down and unlayer here. You know, it was an excellent fight overall. Maybe not the most action-packed throughout the entire event, but throughout the beginning of the fight, Sean Strickland asserted that jab. You saw that early. DDP's eye started to swell up on the left end. But this is when he started to kind of get more aggressive, right? He started to land some takedowns. He was really starting to get closer and closer as the rounds got on, by extending those overhand left hand, left hook combinations, starting to get Sean caught on some of them, and he actually cut Sean open pretty badly in the third round. You know, fourth round was definitely DDP's as well, in my opinion. You know, he was able to get the takedown, get some good control. Round five is where it gets interesting. I had it potentially 2-2. I was watching with my girlfriend. She felt the same way. Right. Obviously, she's not as deep as a fan, but she had it 2-2 going into the fifth. And I thought Sean might have pulled it out at the end there. I thought that he was potentially going to retain. You know, when they said and knew, I was a little bit surprised, but you can't call it a robbery when it's a fight this close.
Yeah.
People are calling it robberies when it's this close. Razor-thin margins on the fight. When you're looking at the fight from next to the cage, the perspective is way different than what we see as a fan. Dave, you as an announcer can attest to this. You know, we see things a lot differently, you know, when you're looking at the cage versus a monitor. You know what I mean? So getting into that main event, Dave, I'll let you break it down, you know, as far as give us your thoughts, who you thought won, and, you know, what was your thoughts on the overall show?
All right, so the main event, I was so right and so wrong. I had DDP going into the fight. I switched probably like midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I was like, wow, Duplessis is going to win the championship. Something hit. I don't know just how Strickland was acting the whole week. You know, maybe a lot of the stuff with the drama and the all that stuff. I don't know. I just had a feeling that DDP was going to win. So I guess in that feeling, I was right. My other feeling was I called that fight was going to end within 9 minutes. They're both so awkward and they fight so different. I really thought whoever was going to win was going to kind of dominate and just run right through the other. That didn't happen. Like, it was a 25-minute fight. I was happy with a split decision. I had DDP winning 3-2. But if someone wants to say, anyone in the world be like, oh, they had Strickland winning 3-2, I'd be like, okay. Like, I see it. Like, I had Strickland definitely winning round one. I had DDP definitely winning round four. Those are, to me, like the most obvious two rounds. Rounds two and three were like both super close. I had DDP winning round two and Strickland three. And some people are telling me the opposite. A lot of people had Strickland winning one and two. So, like, that's what I mean. And round five was tricky. So, you know, I want to be right. So I'm like, wow, I'm kind of not rooting for DDP. And maybe I had a little wager. You know, maybe your boy had a wager and was going to put it all on Buffalo today. Maybe I was going to double the wager and go all in. So maybe I was rooting for DDP a slight. It just, I know Strickland was, you know, maybe landing better shots in that round, but I think DDP was leading the dance. And then late in that last minute, and I know it's so horrible to say that sometimes the judges, that's what they remember. Like, it seems like DDP, I know they were both going ham there for a minute, but in that, I thought DDP won that last 45 seconds. I really do. And so, like, I thought he lost the round, but won the last minute, and maybe that's what kind of persuaded them. So I had DDP winning 3-2, but if anyone says Strickland 3-2, I'm no argument, no robbery. I'm fine. I really do hope these boys run it back in the near future, but it looks like it will be Izzy DDP. But Blake, what do you got, dude? What are you? I know you're gonna have an awful night tonight. I know you're gonna be in a horrible mood because Josh Allen's gonna run on your ass like DDP did on Strickland. But what do you think about the fight, bro?
First and foremost, Kansas City Chiefs all fucking day. That's the last I'm going to say about it. We're coming for that ass. All right, Dave. Second off, for the Strickland DDP fight, I loved the fight. I had money on the fight. Begrudgingly, as much as I am a strong Strickland fan, I took DDP on the money. I took him.
Smart man.
My favorite. And unfortunately, my bet didn't pan out, but the fight that they gave us was amazing because I had a parlay going. That's why I didn't pan out. But overall, the fight was phenomenal. I actually expected DDP to use a little bit more of the wrestling, and I don't know if Strickland set the tone with that jab that really kind of made it more of a stand-up fight than DDP was wanting. I thought he was going to try to take Strickland down and really test his ground game, because I think that's something that we don't see Strickland get to put on display in large quantities like some other fighters. But from all we've heard and from the little we've seen, he does have a good ground game, and he's got a great takedown defense game. That's what he really does well. And I thought he did a really good job of making it very hard for Duplessis to take him down and keep him down. He kept wanting to get back up. Wasn't quite Derek Lewis showing us that jiu-jitsu just apparently isn't the thing, but it was very effective. And I also think that he set the tone with what he was able to do with that jab. That was a boxing jab if I have ever seen one, guys.
Bro,
that was something so we did not see. It was beautiful. Dave, you're right. It was beautiful. That's something you don't really see as much in MMA with such dynamic striking that we get to see. He put on a boxing clinic against DDP, and that was awesome. I think this really shows you how good of a boxer Sean Strickland is. I had the first two rounds. I had Sean Strickland obviously winning the first round, setting the tone, setting the pace with his jab.
Right.
I could have given you a toss up for round two. I really had it Strickland for the first two, Dricus for the next two. I had Strickland winning the third round, but I do agree with you, Dave. I think as much as they were going back and forth in that last minute, last 45 seconds, I thought Sean landed big strikes. I thought Dricus landed clean strikes. There's obviously the difference. I thought Dricus were a little bit more on the money. Sean was just kind of flailing and trying to give it his all.
Right.
In my opinion, I don't know what you guys think, and I really want both John and Dave's opinion here. I'm kind of the party that you have to beat the champ. You have to beat the champ. And I know that there's differing opinions on this, but I'm like, man, did Dricus really full on beat you? Was it too close? If it was razor thin, do you go with the champion? Do you kick Strickland out? Because that's, you know, who knows? He's a very polarizing figure for some people. I fucking love the guy. I love everything he's about. I also love Duplessis. So there was no like, oh, the good guy versus the bad guy. I was just like, these are two badass motherfuckers. Am I happy that Dricus is the champ? Sure. Like I was not going to be disappointed with whoever got their hand raised at the end of that fight, because both of them put on a spectacular performance. But what do you guys think about, do you have to outright beat the champ? Dave, you look like you've got quite a few.
I got something so good here. Hey, John, I want to hear you talk, brother. It's been like 6 minutes. I haven't heard you talk. I'm literally here on the show for you. I just want to promote the Bills and talk to John, but I got something so good here. Blake, like, literally teed me up. The bases are fucking loaded. He put the ball on the tee for me. I've been on this for 5 years. And say bye to your moms and no God is here. Oh, that's awesome, Zap. Thanks, bro. Appreciate you, Zap. No, I'm the exact opposite of the champ thing. I never understood that. Like, every fight is its own entity. Like, the judges shouldn't be like, wait a second, Dan Henderson had a great career in Pride and he just got his ass whooped in DC, but you know, let's give him some bonus points because how great he was. That fight, that 25 minutes, it's its own 25 minute entity. if people had DDP winning 3-2, you shouldn't be like, wait, Strickland's the champ, and you can't win the fight that close 3-2. Because what do you do about the, you know, fights earlier on? Like, you know, does Arnold Allen get a lean one way because he was higher on the rankings? Like, where does that ever stop? It's like every fight, every round, it's its own entity. I never understood you have to, like, beat the champ. Like, he did beat the champ 3-2 via split decision, maybe a controversial split decision, but he did. Like, each fight is its own entity. Like, I never understood that process. Like, I don't know. Like, imagine you're working and someone was been there for 15 years and like, but now they're old and they're not good at their job anymore. And it's like 15 years. It's like, but you're awesome right now. Like, if your boss goes, who had a better year? Dude, Blake had a better year. You know what I mean? Josh Allen's whooping Patrick Mahomes his ass this year. He's a better quarterback right now. Not 5 years ago. Mahomes is a two-time Super Bowl champ, you know? So right now, Josh Allen's going to win. Right now, he's a better player. DDP deserved that win. And that's my hot take. It's not even – I just – every fight, it's its own entity. I just never understood that.
I absolutely agree with you. I think you're 100% correct. You know, I think that there's every fight, you know, you're not going to look at it just because he's the champ. And even if, right, looking at the scorecards, every one of the judges gave the fifth round to Sean Strickland anyways, right? It was the third round that was the dissenting round. Awesome. That two went to DDP, one went to Sean Strickland, right? So even if that case, like, okay, you know, you got to beat the champ, right? Yeah. The fifth round, they all gave to Sean Strickland, but I'm 100% agreeance with Dave, right? I don't care who's in there. I don't care when the time period, if the title is on the line, if the title is not on the line, there is one type of way you judge a fight and you stick to that manner. Now, judging is all over the place, right?
Yes.
You don't want to add something like this to even make it more, you know, there's more controversy or more things going on just because, oh, he was the champion, was razor thin, so we'll give it to him. You know what I mean?
The only reason I say that is me and John have talked about this a ton as far as, and I'm just going to ask you, Dave, did Dominic Reyes beat John Jones?
Yeah, he won that fight.
Okay, we're not talking about it then. I don't care. On to the next fucking topic.
Thank you. Like, that's definitely the right answer. Like, I was doing shots with John Jones in Las Vegas. He's a great guy. Him and Jorge are boys. Like, it's awesome. I would say if John asked me that man-to-man, be like, hey, be honest with you, I had Dominic Reyes up 3-2. I just did. Like, John Jones had a better career. I'm, you know, dude, maybe the GOAT career in the UFC. He's the greatest I've ever seen. But that night, that fight, Reyes won.
Okay. I just wanted to back up your guys' points that you made with a very solidifying question.
Absolutely. So moving on to, you know, right before we get to the, I just want to give you guys a quick preview because we might be seeing Adesanya versus DDP next. That might be, could potentially be seeing something at UFC 300. I don't know what. Before I'm going to let you go, Dave, real quick. Dana White said something last night during his press conference that got me intrigued. When they asked about Israel Adesanya, he said, you'll know next week.
Yes.
And that one statement made me think there's maybe works in the plans for Izzy. I don't know if it's a title fight. I don't know if it's Hamzat, but I'm just curious to see. Dave, I'll let you fire it off. Thoughts on if DDP and Adesanya next, or you also looked like you had something else to say. So
I cannot wait, dude. Tuesday, we're live for multiple hours. And I was like, John, as soon as you said, hey, Dave, you're open today. I'm like, not really, but I'm going to make this fucking work. I got so much in my head. You know, I cannot wait to go live. But Tuesday, couldn't wait. Dude, Dana White was so smiley and so bubbly anytime 300 came along. And I've been saying this forever. Like, all my buddies and all my friends are like, dude, I'm disappointed with 300. I'm like, for what, guys? The UFC 300 card is absolutely amazing and stacked. And for the first time ever, what the UFC has done, except for any other pay-per-view ever, they always give you hey, UFC 298, it's Volkanovski and Tapora, and then they give you the rest of the fights. Oh, 299, Cheeto and Sean, the rest of the fights. For some reason, for UFC 300, they kind of went backwards. They literally said Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage. That's going to be the first prelim. They started on the, you know, on the way up. Dude, I've been saying it forever. I think Conor McGregor is on UFC 300. I think it's McGregor and Chandler's the main event. It's too easy. It's too right there. Dude, they're not waiting to June. Why would they fucking wait to June? Like, what are they doing? Like, who's waiting to June? Michael, and I know this for a fact, Michael Chandler's in the gym training. If he's fighting in June, Why is he training now?
Yeah.
Why are you working out, bro? Why are you training? Like, dude, if I had a $2 million thing in June, you ready? I would be in goddamn bubble wrap. I wouldn't be training. What if he tears his ACL, you know, tricep, he's out. So there's something fishy about that. Then if, let's call a spade, Connor's loose and out there. Maybe Dana's really won that, and that's the thing. But if something, Connor goes, no, I'm not doing it, I think 100% if Connor's not main eventing, Israel and Asanya's main event in that card. I thought there's a slight chance we're going to see Izzy Piera 3 as a light heavyweight, as a middleweight, who gives a fuck, as a 195, whatever. That fight would be amazing. But now with Duplessis winning, and it looks like he was busted up with the eye, and the jab got him, but it seems like he, you know, didn't break his foot. Seems like he didn't break his hand, nothing crazy like that. I think it's Izzy Duplessis 100% is going to happen at 300. It might headline if Connor can't do it. But if Connor's going to do it, it'll be Connor Chandler. They got four spots open. Mm-hmm. Connor Chandler's the main. Duplessis, Izzy's the co. And Kalayev and Piera's the feature. And then Leon and Bilal for the welterweight is the next one. That. And then you start the night with the BMF. You have the greatest card in the history of the UFC. And if you have those four fights and there's four spots open, that's the greatest card ever.
Blake, any thoughts?
Fucking Dave just summed the shit out of that. I love everything about that. I think 100% if Chandler is in the gym, like Dave's talking, I don't know why. And they've been talking about this. You had the whole Ultimate Fighter with them. Like, why?
Yeah.
There's no reason to put it off, because the longer you put it off, it's going to lose its luster. Are we all still going to watch it if it does get put off for some reason? Yeah, but, like, no. It fucking strike while the iron's hot. Dana knows that. Yeah. It's a promotion game. Fucking make it happen. I think that would be amazing.
And they're talking about doing the fight at 185. So, you know what I mean? It's not like they have to cut a bunch of weight, to your point, Dave. Yeah. If he's training right now, he's going to be naturally starting to drop some weight. I don't know if that's going to happen at 185. I don't know if it's at
170. I think 170. My guess would be at 170.
A little bit of a weight cut from there. I'm interested. I'm curious.
Them fighting at 185, the winner, nothing happens. Like, even at 170, if Connor wins – oh, like, holy shit, you could do Connor, Leon, Connor, Bilal. You can even say, hey, Connor won, Connor Makhachev, or whoever's at 155, Connor Gaethje at that time, whatever you want. And, of course, if Chandler wins at 170, I think it's still close enough that you could say, hey, Connor's fought Chandler and, Gaethje and Dustin, you can do that of something. God forbid. Like, dude, how about Michael Chandler and Leon Edwards for the welterweight championship? Like, that's crazy. Like, that would be fun.
That'd be awesome.
Definitely, that'd be interesting. You also got to see what happens with Bilal there too. You know what I mean? He had the "I'm a bully, your son" in the thing, and that I thought that was pretty funny. But we've always, you know, I want to get in a little bit into this co-main event and really just kind of what can be done about this 135 pound division, right? Because, you know, obviously with the retirement of Amanda Nunes, you know, that essentially she was the division, right? Watching her decimate all of her opponents, that was essentially the most fun part about watching that division fight. But now, you know, you have Juliana Pena, who's not really the most interesting in my opinion. You know, you have some older fighters like Holly Holm. You have your Raquel, you know, I mean, who just won the fight title. But, you know, it's just the division just seems like it needs some life, and I'm not sure where they can go to get some of it. I don't know if it's too spread out or
Misha Tate.
Blake, I'll let you start off this topic. You know, what do you think can be done to this 135 pound division? Do you think maybe they should just throw him in a TLC or a Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah,
the Royal Rumble.
I think you break out the ladders, break out the chairs, break out the cage, trap them in. Survivor wins forever, and there's never a division after that. I think it's tough. None of the ladies, and no, get me wrong, no disrespect to any of these fighters, but none of them really move the dial for a lot of people, I don't think. Juliana Pena, yeah. Amanda Nunes, everybody loved watching Amanda Nunes because she was larger than life. She was the greatest of all time in that division, if not the greatest women's fighter ever. She had so much to her. There's not a lot of story and push behind a lot of these other girls. I mean, Raquel Pennington's cool, Pena, Silva, but like, Holly Holmes getting old. You know, like that's not, she knows that. Everybody knows that. You know, Miesha Tate is old. She was originally one of the founders with Ronda coming into the women's MMA. That whole thing was amazing when it happened back in the day. Now she has made a little bit of a resurgence. Love to see it. She goes out and gets a win after she come back. Does she have enough to push up for the title? Maybe. You know, she's a seasoned vet. She still clearly has it. And she's the only one, like, in my opinion, that has, like, a story. She's got enough drive and kind of a social push behind her that people can get around and be like, oh, dude, fucking Miesha Tate, the resurgence. Can she lead the division? All the other women, unfortunately, it's just nobody – there's not a whole lot of story. There's not a whole lot of something to grip onto as a fan, I think.
And yeah, that sucks. No, definitely. And I know some other promotions, what they do is they have like an atom weight where they have a 105. So I don't know, maybe replacing the 135 with like a 105 division. You know what I mean? Dave, thoughts on that and other thoughts on reviving this division?
I totally agree. I've been hearing that, and I even know some 105ers out there. I think the 105ers would be more exciting, kind of be like the male flyweights. The girls just never stop. And they kind of just, you know, let's just be honest, maybe look better and just they kind of are faster and all that stuff. I think the 105ers could be better for sure. I just think where they really messed up, especially with this, with the 135, like to put this as the co-main and it was like big in Toronto. And like, dude, and I don't want to leave this with Sean Strickland. I kind of wanted to mention this earlier. Sean Strickland's a freaking superstar, and it's crazy because I feel like I see so much of it with analytics, with Fight Bananas, with stuff that we post or podcasts we post or all of our posts that we do of pictures. Dude, Sean Strickland is a freaking megastar. So like he made this pay-per-view and he made it almost must-see TV. But those girls, Rocky and Silva, can't be a co-main event. I'm not joking. It was arguably the worst co-main event going into it. And then they probably even undersold what the fight was going to be. Like, it was horrendous. Like, it was so bad. And it's just such a black eye for the whole division. And I know Pena's going to come back and really do some things. For one, you got to make that a fight night main event and get it off of a goddamn pay-per-view. Yeah. Or, like, let's be honest, let's just put it on UFC 299 or 298 where you can, like, 298, you got Marab and Henry. And you got that awesome co-main event. Costa versus Whitaker, and then you got, of course, the main event, Stipuria and Volkanovski, maybe the most underrated fight of the first quarter. I love that fight. Like, if you just put that a part of the card, like, no one cares about it, and, like, it just kind of moves it going, moves the division going. But you make it the co-main event of the first pay-per-view of the year. It was just, like, it had such a big spotlight on it. Like, that's horrible. Like, that's a bad spot. You set them up to fail. And let's just be honest, they fail. Like, it was horrible. The fight sucked. Everything about it, behind it, like, I thought it was shit. Just Dave, pure shit.
Dave, do you think that Dana knew that and still wanted to push it? Or do you think it surprised even Dana that it just was a flop?
A little bit of both. You know, dude, and I probably know too much of this because I'm really lucky to have, you know, friends in the industry and even, like, oh, agents, and you hear, like, fight announcements. One, they really wanted Cejudo and Marab on this card. Like, they set that up. When they set this fight up, it was going to be on this card, and I think probably that would have been the co-main event or give it a lot more pop. Like Henry says, he wasn't ready. Like, he wanted another month. So that happened. And then not even that. Like, Jan Blachowicz and Dominic Reyes was supposed to be on there. Like, they had a couple other fights. A lot of stuff fell through, and, like, I felt like he was trying to sneak it on this card, if that makes sense, because the next 3-4 months are stacked. Like, and the dude, this has been a vacant title. And Chael Sonnen mentioned it, the vacant title's been there for like 8 months. Like, why wasn't this fight happening? Like, I feel like there was no spot to put it in, and he tried to sneak it on this card, and it didn't work. It backfired. I thought it was shit. Like, it was bad. The fight card needed another big fight, and didn't get it. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, Pena versus Rocky is a fight night main event. And then we'll be kind of pumped for it because it's on a Saturday. It's free on ESPN+.
Yeah, I think that's the way you put it. And like you said, Dominic Reyes and Carlos Erlberg, that was an exciting fight. And then you had the Jan Blachowicz and then Alexander Rakic fight, which fell through as well, which would have made this card a lot stronger. You probably would have had Neil Magny headlining the prelims with Mike Mala instead. Yeah. You know what I mean? you know what I mean? But it would have been a lot more enticing. The card overall, for some reason, it just felt like there was a little bit of a drag to it. I'm not sure if because of all the Canadian losses that they're beside, you know, Jillian Robertson and Jasmine, but you know, you know, it really felt like the crowd wasn't as into it as they potentially could have been. It just didn't have the energy in the building. Real quick though, because you know, we're coming up here on 30 minutes. I want to break down just a couple more fights. Dave, quick reaction on, you know, potentially the next number one or close to number one contender fight with Mosar Evloev taking it over Arnold Allen. You know, where do you see as the next direction from him going on from this victory?
Before even that, like, I didn't think the fight wasn't great. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. Like, Dana White called it the worst fight he's ever seen. I don't know if you guys saw that in the press conference. Like, I'm watching it. I'm like, no, like, you know, it wasn't great. And it probably, I know that they like to usually, dude, pay-per-view, big, first fight of pay-per-views were literally Poirier and Chandler. They liked Ferguson and Chandler. Sometimes they love to make you pop at the beginning of the pay-per-view. You know, at a WWE pay-per-view, they always put the Hardy Boys first because they got everyone going. You did the dance and everything. You got it going. Exactly. So, like, I do agree it did, like, it wasn't great by any means, but I don't think it was the worst fight ever. Dude, Mosar is one of those guys, like, he keeps winning. Like, dude, Diego Lopez, everyone loves him, but he beat him. Like, he keeps on winning these top 10 guys. I don't know what's next. Like, he's got to fight a top five, top seven guy. But let's be honest. Dana doesn't like him. Like, Dana thinks he's boring, and that's not a good sign. I bet you he's going to get a horrible, you know, opponent and, like, probably a bad spot on the card, but I guess that's next for him. And Arnold Allen, man, I almost feel bad for him. What a great run. And then you go against Max Holloway, and now you go against Mosar, and now two losses in a row. I feel like a year ago he was one of those buzzing guys. Like, he was undefeated in the division. Could he be a world champion one day? And now it's like, is he kind of like the gatekeeper a little bit for the division?
Yeah, it's tough for him because, like you said, he was one of those guys that you had in the same conversation of like the Shavkats, you know what I mean?
Things of that nature.
It's like, okay, undefeated, you know, he's going up against Max Holloway, you know, and he's like on the cusp, you know, but then you go and you lose to another up and comer. And, you know, this is always those, you know, crossroads where you see like Armand versus Islam. 3-4 years ago, and you might see him again in the future with those two guys again. But like, you know, with Arnold Allen, it's tough. But for Mosar, you know, potentially, who do you guys expect to be next for him? You know, Yair Rodriguez coming off a loss against Alexander Volkanovski, that's a potential matchup. I'm not sure.
Yair's fighting Ortega in like in a month, 2 months.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so yeah, that's right. They're doing that one. Josh just got another win over Bryce Mitchell that maybe puts him up there. Yeah. But I think that's a very solvable puzzle for Movstar. I think he's going to be able to he's not a one dimensional fighter is Josh Emmett, but you know, that's what he's known for. And I think Movstar is more layers to his fight. So who do you think potentially, Blake, I'll go to you on this one. Who do you think he sees next?
Man, I mean, obviously nobody in the top five right now and six, if you count Emmett. I mean, do you just feed him to Giga and see what happens? I mean, if Dana says he's boring, well, Giga's not, so feed him to him. And if he really subdues him and makes that fight kind of that just gritty battle where it's like a lot's happening but nothing's happening, so I'm not really sure how to view it. Like, you know who used to do a lot of that was my favorite, Ben Askren. But Dana felt the exact same way about him. He was like, he just nullifies everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and we all know Dave's boy. We know what Dave's best friend did to Askren in the ring. So
baptized.
But you know, I think you feed him to Giga, and you know, it's either gonna
go two ways.
It's either gonna be exactly what you thought, and Giga's gonna go out there and show him that, hey, this is a place to put on a show. Or he's going to keep doing the same thing, and now we really got to be like, okay, what the fuck do you do with this guy? I mean, you got to give him somebody, and if he's going to do this to everybody, is he just that good? I mean, yeah, maybe he's boring to you, but if he fucking keeps winning, then you can't deny. Real recognize real, man.
Definitely. Maybe put him as a backup for a lot of these. Like I said, Yair and Ortega about to fight. Like, there's like four big of these fights. You know, you put him as a backup. You'd be like, dude, you better stay ready because we don't love you. And, like, we're not going to give you one of these top five, top seven guys. So if one of these big matchups fall out, one of them,
we're going to spot you in there. Like, we're going to throw you into the fire. So stay ready. But, boys, it's been 30 minutes. I want you guys to stay on. It's the best, you know, post-fight show in the world. But I got to start cooking wings, all right? I got to start cooking wings. I eat 7 wings every time the Bills get a touchdown. So I got to cook around 49 wings because we're scoring 7 touchdowns. Josh Allen's going to run all over Chris Jones and his you know, selfish, soury ways. We're not like that in Buffalo. We're giving people in Buffalo. We just want the whole team to be good. I'm so damn excited for this game. I didn't sleep last night after the pay-per-view. All I can think of was 6:30 Eastern time. The Bills against our nemesis, the Chiefs, who beats us every time in the postseason. But these boys from Kansas City, they're not at home anymore. You know, they're not
like in their that fucking matters.
They're traveling to Buffalo in the snow. They better get ready because Josh Allen and the Hulkamaniacs are gonna run wild on you.
Dave, you live in Florida. You're not a fucking Buffaloian anymore, all right?
Buffaloian. Look at those palm trees, dude. Wait. Look at those beautiful palm trees back there.
Jeez. It's a beautiful day. I got snow on the ground here in Kansas City. So it's in the frozen tundra of Orchard Park. I'll tell you what, brother. We're going to reach down that throat. We're going to rip out your heart because Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are the absolute nemesis of the Buffalo Bills.
It's true. Dude, unreal.
John, you're the best, dude. Hey, let's talk soon off air because maybe we got to chill Friday night, the kickback in Miami, Florida. Let's kick back Friday night, all right, brother?
Let's try to get it done.
Blake, dude, you're the man. When are you coming to Florida, dude? Let's do some things. March 2nd, Game Bread Bare Knuckle MMA live in Orlando, Florida. I got VIP tickets on VIP tickets. You could be sitting outside. You could be smoking that. You could be doing something with Jorge Masvidal, maybe. I don't know. Do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
come to Orlando, brother. What are you doing?
If you got tickets, I'll get a plane ticket.
Dude, I got your VIP. You'll be doing shots. I can't even tell you who are the new commentary member, the third person in the booth. They might say it's a mystery opponent. It's like the third guy in the NWO. It's gonna blow your mind.
The last entrance of the Royal Rumble
with this man backstage.
I'm gonna text you then. Let's make a plan. I want to do some shit.
Awesome, guys.
You guys are the best. You guys are the best. All right.
No, you're the best, Dave.
Thanks for giving us the time, man.
Good luck tonight, brother.
Don't need
awesome, Blake. Hey, I don't think there's a better way to close the show out, man. I think that was it. I mean, we had some great fights overall. You know, definitely want to give a shout out for Neil Magny getting that buzzer beater victory. I thought that was awesome. Oh. Shout out to Jillian Roberts as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say we didn't even give any love to old Jilly. She went out there and got the fucking knockout win, baby. Let's go.
She, I mean, her and Asim and the Gochet out there. You know, they're just on a roll. I mean, you know, Asim Zaidi, the head coach of the Gochet in Miami with Jillian Robertson, where she trains, man. They're a bunch of savages. Hopefully we can make it out there. She was absolutely dominant. Since she's gone to Miami, she's just leveled up, man. So she's taking on Alex Neville. Blake, any closing thoughts before we close out here, my man?
Closing thoughts. Just wanted to give a big shout out as well, or a little recognition to Garrett Armfield. Fighting, I've seen him fight in the FAC circuit here in Kansas City, out of St. Louis. He got a win last night over Brad Katana, the two-time contender champion. So that was awesome. I also thought it was hilarious that the Charles Jourdain, Sean Woodson fight, which I thought fucking sucked as well. But the best, most entertaining part of that fight was when Sean Woodson thought he lost and Charles Jourdain started yelling because he thought he won, and actually Sean won, and so they had to bring him back in the cage and that whole kerfuffle. Overall, decent pay-per-view. That's the best I can give it. It was decent.
It was a C.
And that might be overgrading it.
It was a C over. I would give it like a C.
C-.
C-, yeah. Just because a couple of the prelims were nice. They had some good fights on there, you know, as well. But, yeah, we're looking forward to the next one. We don't have UFC next week, man. We're going 2 weeks without it again. The next time you'll see us, we'll see Money Moicano versus Drew Dober and Roman Dolidze versus Nasruddin Imavov in the main event. Blake, as always, appreciate you. Shout out to Mr. Dave Van Auken for giving us the platform and joining us here on this beautiful Sunday.
Yes,
sir. As always, guys, if you're not already subscribed, following us on every platform, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, everything, make sure you guys follow us. Make sure you guys follow us on our socials as well, and we'll catch you guys after the next fight.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.